12th chapter of the book of Luke. I'm going to begin reading with verse 4 of Luke chapter 12. This is our master speaking. And he says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I'll forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him. Fear God, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, that whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." What is it to confess Christ before men? Paul wrote in Romans 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." What is it to confess the Lord before men? Well, I brought a message on that some time ago in which I gave 4 things. To confess Christ, first of all, is to believe Christ before God in your heart. That's where all of this begins. If I confess something with my mouth which I do not believe, that makes me a hypocrite. It would be better if I didn't confess it. I read in Psalm 116 a few moments ago where David said, and Paul repeated it, "I believed, therefore have I spoken." Don't speak till you believe. Don't confess anything till you believe it. "I believe, therefore have I spoken." That's where it starts. I believe I'm a sinner. I really believe that. I believe that God will judge sinners, and the soul that sinneth shall die. I believe that. I believe that God gave his Son to die for sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. I really believe that. I'm not just talking. I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ, by his perfect obedience and righteousness, makes us holy before God, whom he represented. And his blood literally cleanses us from all sin. I believe that. Therefore, I confess. But don't confess it if you don't believe it. Don't lie to God. All right, secondly, I gave you this briefly. To confess Christ is to identify with his people. It's to identify with the things of God. If a man believes God, he'll love God's house. David said, "I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord." He said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I love thy house, O God. I love thy law." God's people love God's law. They love God's word. They love God's house. They love God's people. They love everything identified with God. They even love the universe, the stars and the moon and the sun, which God has made, which shows forth his glory. They delight in them. They love the things of God. And they identify with the things of God. And then thirdly, to confess Christ is to believe him in here. And to be identified with the things of God. And thirdly, it's to walk in daily conversation and conduct with God. It's to confess him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As you have received Christ, walk in Christ. Walk in Christ. Out yonder day by day. It's not just coming to the church and saying, oh, how I love Jesus, and then going out in the world and living contrary to that. It's to walk with him. To mind the things of God. That's confessing Christ. That's confessing Christ. And then fourthly, is to confess Christ in believers' baptism. Now that's what it is to confess Christ. It's first in the heart to love him, to trust him, to believe him. It's to be identified with God, identified with the things of God and the people of God. It's to walk in such a way that God is glorified, that men observe us and listen to us, our conduct, our conversation, our attitude, our spirit, and glorify God. They took note of the disciples that they'd been with Jesus. And then fourthly is to confess Christ in believers' baptism. Now that's my subject tonight, believers' baptism. And I want to show you the privilege. I went all the way to Pikeville this morning to baptize a believer. I'd drive to Miami, Florida to baptize a believer. To have part in such a service because of the privilege of it. The privilege of it. The importance of it. The significance of it. The beauty of it. It's just a beautiful service. It was a beautiful time. And I'm going to try to show you those things in this message tonight. Hope God will give me some liberty to do so. Let's turn first of all to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. A believer ought to be baptized because our Lord was baptized. Our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, Matthew 3, 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, that is to the Jordan River, unto John to be baptized of him. Are you with me? Matthew 3, 13. John, Jesus our Lord came to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John objected. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Our Lord then said to him, Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now, what our Lord said to John was this. The question's not which of us is most excellent. Our Lord is more excellent than John, and more excellent than Moses, more excellent than the angels, more excellent than the tabernacle or the priesthood. John said, I have need to be baptized with thee, and you come to me. That's not the question. Our Lord said the question is, it's our responsibility to fulfill all righteousness. Now, John, it's your duty to baptize. My Father sent you to baptize. He commanded you to baptize. You baptize with a baptism of repentance. John the Baptist was saying to these people that the Christ is coming. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. And he was saying what Moses said and what David said, what Isaiah said. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. He's saying what Abel believed and what Abraham, the day Abraham saw, and of that of which Moses wrote, the Messiah is coming. Repent. Take your place as sinners. Repent. Confess your sinner. Confess that you deserve death, that you deserve judgment, that you deserve the wrath of God, and be baptized with a baptism of repentance. And look with faith to the coming Messiah. And our Lord Jesus said to him, it is, he says here, it becometh us, not only me, but you, to fulfill all righteousness, John. God, my Father sent you to baptize. Do it. Now, it becomes me. It is my pleasure, it is my duty to be obedient to my Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ became a man. He's a representative of a people. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience to the things he suffered. And it was required of him to fulfill all righteousness for us. Baptism was one of the Father's commandments. Our Lord Jesus Christ was circumcised when he was 8 days old. Imagine this. The Son of God circumcised. Yes, when he became a man, he was circumcised. The Son of God, when he came into this world, his mother, being a poor woman, offered a sacrifice of turtle doves for this male child that opened the womb. Our Lord, when he was 12 years of age, went to Jerusalem, just like any other Jewish boy, to fulfill all righteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ literally, actually went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and listened to those fellows up there that never said a word, to fulfill all righteousness. And then he came down here by this river, because he's the obedient son. He's the representative person. He's the full, complete Savior. And he said, John, baptize me. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That's right. To fulfill it. And he says in verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, Matthew 3, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He does what he does in obedience to the one who sent him, the Father. Now, if there was no other reason in this Bible, if I just shut it right there and go home, for me to be baptized, that's sufficient enough. If it's God's command, I don't have anything to debate. That's what my Lord said. John's backed off. He baptized you. He said, John, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is my Father's will. And I'm here to fulfill the will of my Father. And when he was baptized, the heavens opened and the Father said, this is my Son. Now, that wasn't the depth of his humiliation. He went a lot further than that on the cross, but that's the beginning of it. That was the beginning of his ministry. All right, the second thing. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Now, our Lord commanded his disciples to baptize all who believe. All who believe. Matthew 28. Now, the Lord... Our Lord had died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And he gathered his disciples, his apostles, before him. There were 11 of them. Judas was dead. He'd killed himself, committed suicide, hanged himself, son of perdition from the beginning. But he gathered the 11 about him, and Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, and the Lord Jesus came and spake to these disciples, and he said, All authority is given to me. He's the sovereign Savior who will quicken whom he will. And we're going to do his will. These disciples are going out to do his will. And he's with them, and his power is with them. His authority is with them. His will is with them. His purpose goes with them. That's he preceded his commission with those words. I'm sending you in my name, my power. All right. Go ye therefore, with that in mind, and teach all nations. Now, what's that teach all nations? Make disciples, or Christians, or believers of all nations. Our Lord has a people of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. You go preach the gospel to all nations. And they preach the gospel, and the gospel will make disciples. The gospel will make Christians. The gospel will make believers. It's the gospel that's the power of God of the salvation. You go preach it. And then do what? Then baptize them. Preach the gospel to them, by which they're converted, and then baptize them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then do what? Verse 20, and then teach them. Then teach them. Teach them to observe everything that I've delivered unto you and that I've taught you. Teach them. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now, who's to be baptized? Well, we find out from this scripture right here. Only believers are to be baptized. He said, you first go and make disciples. You first go and make believers. You first go and preach the gospel to them. And when they hear that gospel and believe that gospel, then you baptize them. And then you teach them. Then you teach them to observe these things I've commanded you. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Now, you say, preacher, you don't believe in infant baptism. Well, no, an infant can't believe. He doesn't believe. But neither do we teach adult baptism. I don't teach adult baptism. There's only one way to identify proper baptism. That's believer's baptism. It doesn't matter if the believer's 10 years old or 12 years old or 14 or 16 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 70 or 80. It's believer's baptism. That's right. It would be absolutely meaningless for me to sprinkle water upon an infant's head up here in front of this congregation, because it's not we're not baptized upon the faith of our parents. We're baptized upon the faith of our own hearts. We believe and we're baptized. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said in verse 15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the first order. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Where is unto me if I don't preach the gospel? If we don't, how can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Preaching the gospel. You see that? That's the first order of business. Preach the gospel. And then it says, he that believeth, believes what? That gospel. And is baptized. Which comes first? Believing and then baptized. You don't have anything to confess until you believe in your heart. We believe in your heart, but you preach the gospel to them, and if they believe and are baptized, they shall be saved. But they confess Christ after they believe. Turn to the book of Acts. Let me show you an illustration of this. Acts chapter 8. The 8th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 36. Now here, verse 35. Philip was taken by the Holy Spirit down there into the wilderness to preach to the eunuch. Here was a man interested in the gospel, concerned about his relationship with God. And God sent Philip to preach to him. Now look at verse 35. Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's the first order. Preach Christ. And as they went on their way, it doesn't say how long he preached to them. I'm sure he preached to them a good while. They came to a certain water, and the eunuch said to Philip, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Otherwise, no. I've got no right to baptize anyone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, they came to a body of water, and the eunuch says, well, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, just one thing settles the whole issue. Do you, not your mom and daddy, you believe where? In your heart, with all your heart, do you believe the gospel I preached? And what did he preach? Christ to it. And the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both of them, into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and baptized. So who is to be baptized? It's those who believe. Who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe the grace of God, who believe the gospel. And what they're doing in baptism is confessing. Now, I'm going to show you that, the mode of baptism. Now, I know there are a lot of folks who aren't convinced about the mode of baptism, but I'm going to deal with that a little bit and show you the importance of it. The mode of baptism by immersion. And you can take the Greek word immersion and baptizo and all this different thing. You ain't proved anything until you see the reason for immersion, the reason for being immersed, being submerged, being put under, being put out of sight in baptism. Now, we do know in the New Testament that they're baptized by immersion. There's no doubt about that. It said our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came up straightway out of the water. And in Acts it says they went down, both of them, Philip and the eunuch, into the water, and he baptized them. Turn to John 3 and listen to this. John chapter 3. In the third chapter of John, verse 23, it says John also was baptizing in Enon. John 3:23. Why was he baptizing in Enon near to Salem? Because there was much water there. That's why. There was much water. There was a river. There was enough water for two people to go down into. There's enough water for him to take an individual and put him all the way under the water and come up straightway out of the water. But now here's why. Turn to Romans 6. Now you must turn to this and look at it. Romans chapter. You see, my friend, the whole point here is that the waters of baptism represent a grave, G-R-A-B-E, grave, a sepulchre. And baptism is the burial, the putting away of a dead man. A dead man. That's what we're doing. We're burying a dead man. Abraham said, let me bury my dead out of my sight. What do you do with dead people? You bury them. You don't throw a little sand on their face and leave them out there. No, you bury them in the ground. All right, Romans 6, listen. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. Now, here's the reason we don't continue in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? We're dead. The old man dead. He's a new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new man. He's a new creature. That old man, that old dead man, is crucified daily. He's dead. Put him under. Put him under. Put him out of sight. He stinks. Bury him. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Read on. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Our Lord was crucified on the cross for our sins. He died under the judgment and wrath of God for our sins. And then he was what? Taken down dead. Sin killed him. And buried. Buried. Out of sight, plumb out of sight. On the third day he arose, without sin, unto salvation. Read on. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. It's a picture of death. Baptism is a picture of death. It's a symbol of death. We're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, buried, planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, put away, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And he that's dead is free from sin. Baptism by burial, and you take the person and you put him clear out of sight. He's out of sight. He's dead. But he rises. And our baptism pictures, first of all, it represents the person and work of our Lord, who died under the judgment of sin and was buried out of sight. And in him we died. The justice of God wrought upon him every requirement, and we were buried in Christ, and we're risen in Christ, seated with Christ in glory. We believe that. We confess it. We identify with him in baptism. That's what baptism says. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. But also, it represents our death. The Lord's table shows his death until he comes. Baptism shows his death and ours too. We're dead. We're dead. We're not saying that we're perfect. We are in Christ. But we're saying that old man's dead. That old man's dead. And everything about him is dead. And one day it'll be a reality. He's dead. When God saves us, oh, we're not without sin, but that old man, that old way, that old life, as far as we're concerned, is dead and buried. We're risen with him to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is. It's a burial. And I've no right to tamper with it. Verse 4, Romans 6, look at it again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And when I took that dear lady this morning and put her under the water, I thought about it. When I put her under, all her family and friends sitting out, she's gone. Not there. In a minute, she came up with a smile on her face. And she's saying, I'm a new person. I belong to Christ. I'm his. I'm committed. I want the whole world to know this. And this just doesn't get it. I don't intend to compromise it. Don't intend. I have no reason to. I don't have to. I'm his servant, not the servant of men. If I were a servant of a denomination or the servant of a church or the servant of somebody down here with their convenience committees and conformity committees, I may change, but not when I see scripture like this. Buried with him in baptism, that walk in newness of life. Well, and tell you something else about baptism. It's the scriptural way to confess Christ. Don't claim to all these scriptures, but we have so many. When Peter preached at Pentecost in Acts 2:41, it says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. I don't read where they walked down to the front. They didn't have a front to walk to. Didn't have any buildings. They had rivers, but no buildings. I don't read where any of them came down and shook Peter's hand and stood there and whispered in his ear and confessed their sins. I don't see that. I see that on television where people came down and stand and talk to the preacher. My conflict's not with the preacher, it's with God. That's where my problem is. I need to talk to him, not you or me. I don't see that. I don't see them going down praying at a mourner's bench either. I see them going beneath the baptismal water, saying, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I glory in the cross by which the world's crucified unto me and I unto the world. You take a crucified man down and put him under. But he don't stay there. He risen. Listen to this. When they believed Philip preaching the name of Christ down in Samaria, they were baptized, both men and women. When Saul of Tarsus received his sight, he arose and was baptized. Acts 16, Lydia attended to the things spoken by Paul, and she was baptized. And on and on and on it says that. Every New Testament believer, when they heard the gospel, they confessed Christ by baptism. When we're baptized, we're confessing this. We're sinners. Christ came to the world to save sinners. And he died on that cross for our sins. That's why he was there. My sin. My sin nailed him to that cross. And they took him down and buried him. And he arose and ascended to the right hand of God. And when I come into the waters of baptism, I'm saying, that's what I believe. That's my life, that's my hope, that's my salvation, Christ Jesus. And I want the whole world to know that like him, I died to sin, and I buried. The old man's put under the water, put in the grave, and I rise to walk in newness of life. And that old man is considered dead. He is considered dead for good, forever. We parted company. I buried him. He shows up every once in a while, Frank, and knocks on the door and gives me a hard time. But he, as far as I'm concerned, he's dead. And there's a new man in Christ. All right, now let me say this. Brother Mann, I've heard you say 100 times, baptism is not essential to salvation. I'm going to say it 100 more, too. Lord willing. It's not essential. The only thing essential in salvation is Christ. Christ. He loved me and gave himself for me. I am redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, not by ordinances, not by works, not by deeds, not by... Faith doesn't save me. Christ does. Christ does. I lay hold of Christ by faith, but he's the Redeemer. It's his blood. It washes us white as snow. The thief on the cross was never baptized. I expect to see him in glory. I expect to see others. Abraham wasn't baptized. Moses wasn't baptized. David wasn't baptized. I'd like to keep company with that bunch, wouldn't you? They weren't baptized. There'd be people in glory who weren't baptized. There are many commands of my Lord that are not essential to salvation. That's right. There are many commands of my Lord that are not essential to the redemption of my soul, but they're precious to me, his commandments are. And who am I to sit around and argue about what's essential and what's not essential if my Lord commands it? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You won't sit around and say, well, that's not really essential. My wife just had a birthday. I'm her husband, whether I buy her a present or not. But it sure makes a happier home when I buy her a present. See what I mean? It's not essential. My being kind to her or nice to her is not going to change this relationship. I'm married. Lord willing, I'm going to stay married till death do us part. That's what I said in front of the preacher. I intend to keep it. God willing. So it's not essential, is it? Not even essential I speak to her. But if you love me, you will. The You see what I'm saying? That's it, based on love. It's not based on what I have to do. I don't have to be here tonight to be saved. Do I? I never read anywhere going to church saves the sinner. Going to Christ saves the sinner. But I'm here because I love Him, because I love His people, because I want to worship Him. I don't have to give another dime in the offering for the missionaries to be saved. That's not what saved me, Dale. I'm not saved by doing good work. I'm saved by Christ's blood. But I'm not doing this to get saved. I'm doing it because it's the will of my Lord. Thy will be done. And baptized, you say, well, it's not essential for me to do. No, I didn't say it was. I never would say that. But my Lord commanded it. And that's enough for me. It's confessing Christ. That's the basis on which I feel like that anything done ought to be done for the glory of God, because you love Him. Because you love Him. Because that's, He said it. He commanded it. Well, I hope that's a blessing. I hope God will use it for your good and His glory. Believers, Baptists.